Thank you, Jason. Next time you'll have to remember not to forget your glasses. I'd love it if you could all join me in prayer. Father, we just thank you again for this week that we've had in the rain. And a lot of us have already been here this morning and worshipping you and hearing your word, but I pray that tonight as we come to your word again, that you would challenge us and encourage us. And that you would just equip us for the life that we have. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as some of you guys may have heard bits and pieces about, Beck and I have actually been in the process of trying to buy some land to build a house on it. And because of COVID, among other things, this has actually been quite a draining process. It's been really exhausting for us. It normally takes, you know, can take as short as a month, sometimes 2 weeks if you're lucky. And this process is getting up around 100 days. So it's put a lot of stress on us. It's been very challenging for us. And I think we're pretty discouraged about it at this point, even though it looks like it's all happening. Like it really looks like we're at the last hurdle and we've kind of got there. We've kind of been beaten down by the whole process, unfortunately. But throughout this entire time, we've had our mortgage broker with us. And if you don't know what a mortgage broker is, they're somebody that actually talks to the bank on your behalf and they help you get the loan. So we tried to get a loan early this year and Sean was great and he helped us out. He was amazing through that whole process. But we ended up pulling out when COVID hit because we didn't really know what was going to happen and so we just thought it was wise to pull out. So we've gone with him again and we've made him go through the whole process again. But since COVID has happened, banks have gone crazy and they have tightened up everything that there is to tighten up. So Jill would be able to tell you, I have requested so many pay slips. We have handed him so many bank slips, bank statements and other financial records, certificates, letters of employment, all this stuff. And he has literally worked tirelessly for us. And even though there's been so many setbacks for us and we feel discouraged, he has been incredibly positive the entire time and he's always said, I'm going to get you this loan, I'm going to get it for you. And I know that that just sounds like, you know, that's his business, he's a salesman, but this is really genuine. He was positive in the face of adversity. And so that's actually what we're going to see tonight in our passage, positivity in the face of adversity. But before we get there, I'd like to just give you a little bit of context to the second letter of Corinthians. So, in case you don't know, Paul himself actually planted this church. He started it at its very beginning. And if you read the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, they are a very messy church. They've got a lot of mess that they're dealing with. There's a lot of dysfunction that they're going through. And if you read chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians, we're now told that they're also starting to experience some suffering and persecution to make matters worse. So Paul actually spends a lot of this letter talking to them about his life and his ministry. And his whole kind of, I guess, his whole technique here in talking about what he does is actually so that monkey would see and then monkey would do. So he tells them how he does his Christian life and how he does his ministry in the face of adversity so they know what to do when they face adversity. And throughout these chapters, he says we a lot and he says we in our passage. And he's not actually talking about himself and the Corinthians. He's actually talking about his little ministry team. So he's talking about Titus and Timothy and Silvanus. So when you hear we later, it's not the church. So if he was writing it to us, it wouldn't be us. He's talking about we, like me and my guys. And so he starts off in chapter 2 talking about ministry, and then he continues this through chapter 3, and then we get to the start of chapter 4, and that's where he says, we do not lose heart. And as I said earlier, this is the theme that we're going to be looking at tonight. Not losing heart in our Christian ministry and our Christian lives. Because as many of you probably know, life has hardships. Life is challenging at times, and it can be really discouraging for us. And so Paul wants the church to hear from him and how he and his co-workers actually go about their ministry and their Christian life, even though it is hard and challenging for them. So that's what we're going to look at. How does Paul approach and survive gospel ministry, even though it can be hard and discouraging? So first of all, let's have a look at verses 7 to 12. And this is where Paul explains the first thing that he believes, which actually sustains him in his ministry and his Christian life. Dave, I might need to get you to click onto the next one. There we go. So in verse 7, he says this, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. So what Paul is trying to get the church to see is that they are just containers. He's a container and they are containers. And the treasure is the gospel message of Jesus Christ. So as much as we might feel self-important at different times, we might be really talented, we might be good at preaching, or we might be good at sharing our faith with people in person. We might be a really good person in terms of the way that we treat other people. But at the end of the day, we are literally just the containers or the vessels, as he puts it, the jars of clay. And the thing which we hold inside of us is the gospel. And this is the thing that is far more valuable and precious than any of the gifts that we actually have. So I think this is really helpful when we think about our lives and the people in our lives who we actually feel called to sharing the gospel with. We can put a lot of pressure on ourselves to actually, you know, save this person. But we're just the vessels. We're just the containers. It's kind of like if you buy somebody a present and you put wrapping paper on it. We are the wrapping paper, you know. We're not useless completely. We dress up what's inside. We dress up the present that's inside. We still have a purpose. But the really valuable and important thing is actually contained within us. And that is where the real power lies. So this power, it lies in Christ and what he has actually done for us in the gospel. And he has given us this treasure. I spoke about this at our last Sunday night service in Romans 1:16. The gospel is God's power for salvation. That's the way that he's chosen to save people. The gospel and sharing the gospel with other people. So, like a jar of clay, we are actually weak and imperfect, and that's okay. It's actually to remind us that the gospel is God's power for salvation and not us. This treasure is in jars of clay, he says. And so, as we look up there on the screen and continue to go through our passage, we see that Paul actually sees his life as a vessel for the work of Jesus Christ. So, Jesus has done his earthly ministry and he's gone up to heaven to be with the Father. And so, Paul sees his job is actually doing what Jesus would do if he was here. It's kind of like, you know, a video game, you know, you've got a character and you actually kind of control them. We're kind of like the video game characters, and we, by obedience and submitting to Jesus, we do what our controller, the guy sitting behind the desk controlling us wants us to do. We're kind of like little mini Jesuses doing his work here on this earth. But as we can see from this passage, part of the problem of being the vessels of Christ in his mission is actually that Jesus, when he was doing ministry in this world, he was persecuted and he was killed for doing the ministry. And so it's no surprise that those who are ministers of God's gospel are persecuted as well. We can see up there that Paul says, he says this, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. We are always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies." So this is part of the reason why they actually endure suffering and hardship for the gospel. It's because they know that through their obedience and their service, they're doing what Jesus would do if he was here. They endure suffering because that's what Jesus would do if he was here on this earth. And so Paul and his team, they have an incredible sense of power and purpose in their life and in their ministry. Even though they face death, and as we know, they were killed for their faith, they do it so that the life of Jesus may be made manifest in their bodies. In other words, they face death so that Christ may live and act through them. And because they believe this, it actually gives them an incredible motivation and it enables them to endure the suffering that they do. But what we're going to see is actually that Paul wants to expand on this and keep talking about this to the Corinthians, about how he perseveres in ministry. So let's move on to verses 13 to 15. I'll get you to chuck that up there, Dave. Yep, so here we see more of why it is that Paul doesn't lose heart in the face of suffering and challenges. If we look at verse 13, we read this. "Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we also speak." So here he's talking about how his faith actually comes into the picture. Not just faith as this abstract idea, but his belief, his conviction of what is true. And many people in our world today actually come to suffering and they see suffering in the world and they go, "Oh, well, okay, there's suffering, so there can't actually be a good God, or there can't be any God at all." And sometimes these people have experienced immense personal suffering of their own. Other times it's just theoretical and they just see suffering. They go, "Oh, this is really bad. God can't be good. He mustn't be there." But here Paul is literally saying the exact opposite thing. In that reference to Psalm 116, which says, "I believe, therefore I spoke," if you actually flick to it in Psalm 116, the next thing that he says is, "I believed when I spoke the words, I am afflicted." So even though they are suffering hardships, in the midst of those trials and hardships, his conclusion is, "I still believe. I've got all this happening to me, but I still believe, and therefore I preach the gospel." And the question might arise in your mind, so why does Paul have such confidence when it comes to preaching the gospel in the face of hardship? Why does he still believe? Well, in verses 14 and 15, he's actually going to give us a bit of the answer about why he does believe in the face of this such adversity. So first, let's have a quick look at verse 14. It's up there on the screen. Here, Paul says that they preach knowing that as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, one day they too are also going to be raised from the dead, just as he was. Now, that's something that we all believe as Christians, that, you know, we're going to be resurrected from the dead. We all believe that here. But Paul's belief in this is so strong that he's actually willing to literally risk his life so that people would be able to hear the gospel message. I find that so challenging. I just want to ask you a couple of questions that relate to this. How much do we really believe in the resurrection of our bodies? How strongly do we believe in this fact? How strongly do we believe that this life here is actually only meant to be preparation for the next? This is the, you know, to use sporting terminology, thinking of the NRL grand final coming up, this is the warm-up before the actual match. It's not supposed to be as important as what's coming. I can't help but be challenged by these questions. But Paul gives another reason that he can, you know, continue in his ministry in the face of adversity. And this comes in verse 15. Here Paul says that all their ministry is for the sake of the Corinthians, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So effectively what he's saying is that we do ministry so that the grace of God may extend to more and more people, or many more people may come to be saved, may come to know Jesus, saving faith in Jesus to the glory of God. I think that sounds like motivation to me. It made me think this week of in the last century when we had a couple of world wars, and men and women from Australia went off to war to actually literally lose their lives so that our country would have freedom in the future, so that kids and grandchildren wouldn't have to, you know, experience the possible world that could come about if they didn't do anything. It's kind of the ethic of the gospel, the Christian ethic. Jesus laid down his life for us in the gospel. And Paul is doing the exact same thing in his ministry. He's prepared to literally lay down his life so that people would come to know Jesus. And so these two beliefs that he has, they combine and they help us to start to see why Paul doesn't lose heart in spite of all the sufferings that he's going through. So Paul believes in the resurrection, that's one, and he also believes that many people will be saved through his ministry if he perseveres through hardship. And this kind of brings us to the last couple of verses in our passage tonight. And here Paul is actually going to go into a bit more detail about this resurrection belief that he has. So, Dave, I'll get you to chuck up the next couple of verses. So, these are the last three verses of chapter 4. I'd love to read them for you, actually. So, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are unseen, but to the things, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So here is the secret for persevering in ministry, but also Christian life as well. We do not lose heart, because even though suffering and death and torture seem like the worst things that could possibly happen to him, and even though, you know, his body is actually literally wasting away because of what's happening to him at the moment, his spirit is renewed and his passion for ministry is also renewed, because he's actually not focused on this present life. He's not really worried about what he can achieve here right now in this day and age. He's focused on his future life in Christ, his future hope of eternity. And in this future hope, there is what is described, what he describes as an eternal weight of glory, which is being prepared for him and for us as well. And this is something that cannot compare to anything in this life. Our hope in Christ, guys, it cannot be compared to anything. The word that Paul uses is literally weight, the weight of glory. What this actually means is that the thing that is prepared for us is so good, it's so incredible, it's so amazing, that it actually becomes a burden that we can't even understand or bear because it is so great. It becomes a weight on human, limited human people. We can't understand it, that it just is overwhelming in that sense. The weight of glory. It's so amazing, so incredible that it makes any suffering or hardship or anything that this life could throw at us 100% worth it. That's what Paul is saying here. It's 100% worth it for the weight of glory which God has prepared for us. Now, in trying to like illustrate this further for you, I kind of think it's like having a baby. You kind of go through, I don't know this from experience, but I've heard you go through 9 months of carrying the child, and that's exhausting, and you get sick, and it's painful. And then you have to go through labor, which is really painful, really exhausting, and there's lots of screaming. And so there's a lot of pain and suffering that people go through. But when that little sack of flesh, that little screaming baby, is birthed into this world, all of that pain is literally forgotten about. Otherwise, why would women all around the world continue to have babies? Because it's worth it. It's 100% worth it. The thing that has come along is so amazing and incredible that it literally erases all the hardship that you went through to actually get there. And that's the attitude that Paul has when he thinks about the suffering that he's literally going through right now. So, my question for everyone is, what's the big deal? Surely this doesn't actually apply to us, does it? Like, surely this is just for pastors and people that are in paid ministry, right? What do you think I'm going to say? No. The reason that Paul is writing to the church, as I said at the start, is monkey see and monkey do. He's actually trying to teach them how to persevere when it comes to sharing the gospel in the face of suffering. And this is because gospel ministry is not just for pastors, it's not just for elders or missionaries or anything like that. It's actually for all of us. Peter, in his epistle, he says, he calls the church a royal priesthood and a holy nation and God's special possession to declare the message of God to the rest of the world. So that means we're all in. Whether you like it or not, you're all in the mission of God to this world. And I think the challenging fact is that the more that we take up this ministry in our lives, actually the more challenging and the harder we'll actually find this life. But Paul's reason for writing this letter and his testimony of his ministry is so that the church wouldn't lose heart. It's so that they would actually be encouraged in their gospel witness to their community. So to us, to you guys, to myself, I say, as much as it is to you, I say this to myself as well, let's not lose heart when it comes to the salvation of the people in our community. People that we love and we pray for and we want to come to know Jesus. Because God has actually given us His Spirit to dwell inside of us and to empower us to be His vessels and to actually proclaim this message of Jesus to the people in our community. So we might, and we certainly are, imperfect and broken jars of clay. But inside of us, we carry the ultimate treasure, which is the message of Jesus Christ. And so even though we encounter hardships and challenges for our faith, what we actually have to do is take a leaf out of Paul's book as well. So in verse 16, where he says, "Do not lose heart," he then also says, "For we are renewed day by day." So if you're kind of going, "Oh man, like that sounds really hard, it doesn't sound real comfortable," and if you're in that place of, "Man, life is hard, Christian life is hard, ministry is hard, being a Christian at school is hard," that's okay. That's normal. But what Paul actually says here to us is something that he does as well. So he's not this awesome superhero of the faith. He is renewed day by day. And we need the exact same thing. We actually need to come to Jesus every day and say, "Hey, I need your help for today." Don't be thinking about, 2 weeks down the track, a month down the track, 10 years down the track. To overcome the struggles and the hardships of life, we actually need to just take it step at a time. And I've got one more thing for us tonight before we close. And this is that we actually have to come to see that this life, it's not everything. We can't make our whole lives about pursuing things here on this earth. As Jesus says, we actually have to store up our treasures in heaven. The things that we can achieve here and the things that we can earn and do here, they get forgotten about really quickly. I do not know who was the pastor here before Dale. The ministry and the work that we do here is forgotten about really quickly. So we actually need to fix our eyes on this future weight of glory that is being prepared for us. We need to fix our eyes on the fact that we will one day be resurrected in the body. And that through our ministry, people can actually come to join with us in this. They can share with the resurrection of the body with us in the future. That's the weight of glory, which is so heavy that we can't bear it as human beings. So, I'd love it if you could join with me in prayer tonight, guys. Thank you. Father God, I just think of anyone here who might be feeling weighed down, tired, or exhausted, whether it's just life or even if they've been trying to share the gospel and they've been praying for people that they love. And Father, I pray that you would refresh them in their spirit, encourage them in their lives, equip them for the trials that are ahead. And like Paul, help us to have these real strong convictions that they just carry us through stuff. Help us to just have such a strong faith in you and such a strong grasp of the gospel that it changes the way that we do our lives on a daily basis. It changes the way that we speak to our neighbors, Lord. Lord, I don't think I do this well enough. Help us to be your hands and feet here on this earth. Particularly as has been said earlier tonight, like as we come up to Christmas, help us to speak of Jesus and with people in conversations as we come up to Christmas season. That people in our community would be challenged with the gospel. That grace may extend to more and more, as Paul said in Corinthians. So we just pray all this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Thank you. We're going to have the band come back up and just lead us in a couple of songs.